Where would we be without the pocket calculator? That humble yet remarkable device played a role in landing a man on the moon and exploring the seafloor, not to mention helping you pass that trigonometry class. Now that the calculator's functions have been largely taken over by smartphones and other tools, it's high time we took a look back at the history and influence of this product, arguably the first piece of must-have personal tech. Here to share that story is Keith Houston, author of the new book, Empire of the Sum, The Rise and Reign of the Pocket Calculator. Keith's writing has appeared in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and the Financial Times, and he joins us now to share five of his key insights.
Hi there. My name is Keith Houston, and I'm a writer from Scotland. I've previously written books on punctuation and book history, but my most recent book is called Empire of the Sum, The Rise and Reign of the Pocket Calculator. And I'm here to tell you about five things I learned as I wrote my book. Insight number one, there is nothing new under the sun. In writing each of my books, there has come a point where I realize that I'm going to have to talk about ancient Mesopotamian culture, or ancient Egyptian culture, or ancient Greece, or Rome, or China, or even all of the above. In this book, that time came when I realized that the first written numbers, which occur in Sumerian cuneiform, came from clay tokens that represented quantities like a bushel of barley or a day of labor. In turn, those tokens may just have influenced the development of the earliest abacuses, or counting boards, where tokens or pebbles were placed on a grid to represent numbers. Right away, we're back at the dawn of literate culture. Then, in Greece, we see the earliest archaeological discoveries of counting boards, which were great marble slabs carved with lines on which to place counting tokens. Rome then gives us the earliest known portable abacuses in the form of little slotted brass plates with buttons that can slide up and down. And then, over in China, which is, of course, the birthplace of paper and printing, abacuses using strings or wires are described in a book that dates to around about the same time as Rome's pocket abacuses. So, in other words, writing, counting, and calculation are all bound up in the same histories, peoples, and places that crop up over and over again. It shouldn't be surprising. We're all human, after all, and humans like to acquire information, to record it, and to manipulate it. And that's exactly what writing and math are for. The most important inventions are the ones that relate to the human condition, and they crop up over and over again. Insight number two. War focuses the mind. The first pocket calculator was called the Kirta. It's about the size of a Coke can, or maybe a little smaller, with a crank on top and numeric sliders on the side. And although it looked like a coffee grinder, it in fact was the very first digital pocket calculator. It was mechanical, but it added and subtracted with absolute precision. And it made quite a splash. Partly this was because it made calculators portable in a way that they never had been before, but also because its designer had created it while interned in one of the Nazis' most notorious concentration camps. At its heart, the Kirta was not a new machine. Instead, it reused the principles behind an earlier, larger mechanical calculator called the arithmometer. And the arithmometer, too, had been designed by a man with first-hand experience of war. In this case, that was Charles Xavier Thomas, the quartermaster of a French army stationed in Spain in the 19th century. The same thing happens over and over again. The Casio 14A, the first calculator with no rotating gears or cams, was modelled on computers designed before and during World War II. It also used relays, because the Japanese economy, which had been devastated by the Second World War, was unable to manufacture the precision gears that were needed for mechanical calculators. Then, later, the first solid-state calculator, the British Sumlock Anita, was designed by a man who had worked on a variety of vacuum tube computers, again during the Second World War. And the Canon Pocketronic, which was arguably the first ever electronic calculator, was largely a vehicle for Texas Instruments to sell microchips now that their contract with the US military had dried up. Insight number three. If you don't have a market, create one. The last calculator I mentioned, the Canon Pocketronic, was the mass-produced version of a prototype designed by Texas Instruments. It was called the Caltech, and it was Texas Instruments' solution to a problem: how to sell more microchips. A TI engineer called Jack Kilby had invented the first practical semiconductor microchip, in which multiple electronic components were placed on a single piece of silicon or germanium, and TI had made a lot of money selling them to the US military. But TI wanted to sell more, and so the company repeated a trick it had pulled off once already. It invented a new product to sell electronic components. The first time round, TI's president, Pat Hegarty, had conducted a plan to sell more transistors inside transistor radios, and now he wanted to sell microchips inside pocket calculators. Calling the Caltech a pocket calculator is a bit of a stretch. A pocket would have to be unusually roomy to hold one of these absolute units inside of it, but the plan worked all the same. Or at least it worked out in the end. The Pocketronic was delayed and delayed to the point where other better calculators had appeared even before it was released, but TI went on to become one of the biggest calculator companies in the world, and it still is today. Insight number four. Sometimes, perfection is all you need. Hewlett-Packard were, and are, a big American technology company. They got started, as all good tech companies do, in a garage. Bill Hewlett and Dave Packard started out making electronic gadgets in Palo Alto in California. By the 1960s, with Dave Packard taking a leave of absence to work as Deputy Secretary of Defense, Bill Hewlett wanted to branch out from what the company called electronic instruments and into electronic calculators. HP released a bulky desktop calculator first, called the HP 9100A, but it was their follow-up, the actually pocket-sized HP 35, that made the real splash. The thing is, the HP 35 didn't do anything that other calculators didn't already do. It had arithmetic and scientific functions, good design, and a pocketable form factor. But for the first time, it had all of these things at once. Just like the iPhone took ideas from other smartphones and pocket computers and put them into a single sleek package, the HP 35 was the first calculator to really showcase what was possible with microelectronics. And it was a runaway success. Students sold their cars to buy HP 35s. NASA engineers had to lock their own HP 35s away to stop them from being stolen. It was the first must-have calculator, and possibly the first must-have consumer electronic device of any kind. Insight number five. Form is temporary, but function is permanent. My book ends with a chapter showing how the home computer pushed the calculator out from most workplaces. And it's true, it's very rare today that you'll see a calculator in the wild. School children still use them for exams, of course, and you sometimes see them on corner shop counters or a bank teller's desk. But in the wider world, the pocket calculator has effectively become extinct. Or has it? Just about every computer, tablet, and smartphone in the world has a calculator app. You could even type a mathematical expression into Google or Bing and get an immediate answer back, just like a calculator. The pocket calculator may be dead, but the idea of the pocket calculator is too useful to ever die off. The calculator is going to be around for a long time to come. Well, that's all from me. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy the book.
Thank you, Keith. That was Five Big Ideas from Empire of the Sum, The Rise and Reign of the Pocket Calculator by Keith Houston. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.